Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're going to continue to examine what Jude taught about how to win souls in an age of apostasy. So let's read Jude verses 22 and 23 again together. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, in our previous broadcast, we began to look at just how fear can work in pulling some people out of the fire of deception and of being led astray. And as I've told you before, our modern culture despises godly fear. And many today in the modern church would push aside any notion that God would ever desire that we have fear actively working in our lives. But that false thinking comes from an unbiblical view of God and an unbiblical view of man and a wrong view of just how serious God is about the truth. Brothers and sisters, we have to come to terms with the reality that it is not only a sin to do something wrong, but it is also a sin to believe something that is wrong. And for some strange reason, those who would be quick to say that us doing something that God has forbidden are many times the very same people who also say that it really doesn't matter what we believe. But we must understand that what we believe will eventually translate into how we live, and it will translate into how we look at both the temporary issues of life and also those things that are eternal. Now, many times we hear people who say that although they believe one thing, they feel as though they are free to live contrary to how they say that they believe. But how could this be possible? Isn't what we believe the very foundation of the way we live our lives? Isn't what we believe central to how we form our views of life, death, God, sin, righteousness, and unrighteousness? I mean, if something is valuable enough for you to believe in it, if something is important enough for you to sign on to it, doesn't that mean by default that you are ascribing to what it says and means? And that is why what we believe is the single most important factor of our lives. It is far more important than the house you live in or the clothes you wear or the money in your bank account. What you believe is central to how you function as a human being and cannot be separated from you. What you believe about life and about God and about your relationship with your wife and how to raise your children and what to do with your money and what you believe about man and sin and heaven and hell, those are the things that guide you through life, and those are the things that motivate you to agree with something or to disagree with something. So what you believe, that which guides and leads you and motivates you, is what is called doctrine. And as I said many times in this study, you already have a doctrine. Everybody already has a doctrine. They believe in and they fashion their lives based upon their doctrine. Everybody on earth believes certain things about every issue of life and every issue about eternity. People have already formed an opinion about everything. But even more importantly than that, everyone has already formulated an opinion about eternal matters as well, about God and about sin and about heaven and hell and salvation. And if you notice, those private, invisible beliefs don't stay private or invisible very long. They always turn into actions that are very public and very visible. So the issue is not whether we need doctrine or whether or not we have a doctrine, because we all have a doctrine already. No, the real issue is on what do we base our doctrine? What is the foundation on which our beliefs stand? Is your doctrine or your beliefs based upon your personal opinions and human reasoning and your own personal experiences? Do you say that something is true simply because it appeals to you, or because it personally benefits you, or because it sounds cool, hip, or logical? If any of these things are the basis of your doctrine, then please hear me when I tell you that you are already deceived, and you are in real and serious danger, because God has already spoken. The owner and the creator of the universe has already revealed his word, which is divine, absolute, propositional, and eternal truth. So God has already determined what is right and what is wrong, and God has already given true and sound doctrine. God has already settled the debate about all the issues of both life and godliness, and therefore nobody has the right or the authority to teach or to believe or to do contrary to what the Almighty has said. So since we already have the written, divinely inspired revelation of God that is finished and complete and sufficient, our job is not to seek new and different revelations, because that would mean that we are not happy or content or satisfied with what God has already said. No, our job is to learn and be taught and to understand and to believe and to obey and to love and to propagate what God has already said. So our job, our duty, and our joy and our privilege as sons and daughters of the Lord Christ is to humbly and joyfully submit to the authority of the Holy Scriptures in our daily lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, all to the glory of God. There is not a single human being or organization on earth, either in or out of the church, who has the right or the authority or the liberty to make up our own beliefs or to formulate our own doctrine. No man, no group of men, no organization, no country, no government, no institution on earth has the freedom or liberty to believe and teach whatever the dog drags in through the front door and then call that truth. Nobody has the right to formulate their own religion or their own philosophy or their own morality. And that is true because the one true living God has already done all of that. And in his singular omnipotence, God imposed that truth and imposed that morality and imposed that doctrine on every human on earth. And that same God will hold every human accountable to that one single doctrine, morality, and truth when they stand before him. So the fear of God will restrain fallen man's desire to rise up and contradict the Almighty. The fear of God will cause wise men to fall before this God and not argue with him about what he said. The fear of God will motivate smart people to humble themselves before the God who holds the stars in his right hand and beg him to give them the honor to obey what he has already spoken. Only fools try to change God's word, dear friends. People who are totally absent any fear of God at all, those are the ones who stand up and say that God has revealed new and exciting revelation directly to them. People who are without any fear and thus who are without any wisdom and knowledge are the ones who want you to think that they have some special hotline to heaven that can hear and see and receive things that nobody else can. These are the heretics and the false teachers that Jude has been warning us about all throughout this journey. You see, when we form beliefs based upon frail, faulty, weak human reasoning or personal experiences or human logic, we are saying that we trust our human ability to reason and what we think we have seen with our own with our eyes, and we trust our own logic much more then we trust that which God has inspired. We are saying that we place more value on what our minds conjure up than we do with what God has said, and that is the height of human arrogance and self-righteousness, which is the very opposite of the fear of the Lord. When we form beliefs based on personal opinions, we are saying that we value our own opinion more than we value God's. When we formulate doctrine based upon how we feel about something or from church history or through pronouncements by popes or from anything other than God's word, we are in fact saying that we place a higher value on those things. We trust those things more than we value and trust that which God has said. And beloved, we must never do that. Proper and correct and biblical godly fear will stop us from forming doctrine and beliefs based upon anything other than God's word. For example, when we say that we don't think God would do thus and so, when we say and what we say is based upon our human system of fairness and justice, we are placing that human system of what we think is fair and just above God. When we say, for example, that we don't think that God would ever create a hurricane that would do so much damage to the Gulf Coast because we have formed a personal opinion about what God does and does not do, ignoring what the Bible clearly says that he does do, and ignoring all that the Bible says about God's absolute sovereignty and God's complete dominion over all that he created, we may not realize it, but we are ascribing attributes to God that the Bible does not ascribe. We are painting a picture about what God will and will not do. We are portraying God's character and nature in light of how we wish him to be rather than what the Bible clearly reveals him to be. Beloved, when we do that, we are creating a God that is different from the God of the Bible. We are creating a God that is made in our image and that is after our likeness, and that is the textbook definition of idolatry. We must openly and loudly and proudly herald that God is precisely everything that Scripture reveals him to be. We must repeat what God has said about himself, never giving our own personal opinions and never placing our own original thoughts about God and what we think God does and what we think God does not do. So while it is true that everyone has their own doctrine, that doesn't mean that all doctrines are correct. Simply because we earnestly believe something does not make that belief to be true. Simply because we are passionate about something doesn't make it right. It is good to be passionate. It is admirable to be earnest, but earnestness and passion are poor substitutes for objective, absolute, divine truth. And so beliefs that are not divinely inspired truth are not eternal, and they are not permanent, and they are not trustworthy, and they are not reliable, and they should never be the basis of what we believe. The Bible says that godly fear will motivate us to spend time with God so that we may know what we believe is biblical, while human arrogance and foolishness will encourage us to try to wing it and go it alone and do things our own way. The fear that Jude is talking about here in verse 23 is the kind of fear that is based in humble submission to the Word of God, the dying of self, all to the glory of God. So this fear, this reverential respect, will not allow us to develop beliefs based upon anything other than God's Word. And so this fear will keep us away from false teaching and heresies and apostasies, no matter how popular they might be. And so since that is true, then the very opposite is also true. A lack of this godly fear, a lack of proper reverential respect toward God, a lack of respect for absolute truth will allow us to formulate our own beliefs, make up our own personal theology. It will allow us to believe whatever our carnal hearts desire, and we will view God and man and sin and righteousness and salvation and heaven and hell through the prism of our own human eyes rather than through the divinely revealed and inspired Word of the living God. And when we do that, we cannot help to be but off base. It is only a matter of time until we are completely deceived. So what Jude is telling us here is that fear can indeed pull us out of the fire of deception. Did you know that words like humility, submission, faithfulness, and obedience are all connected to godly fear? Do you know that no one can ever be faithful to God if they don't fear God? No one can ever humble themselves to God unless they fear God. No one can ever submit to God unless he fears God. No one can ever obey God until and unless they learn the fear of the Lord. Now, certainly we did not have this love for God when we were out in sin. When we were out in sin, we did not submit, and we did not follow, and we did not obey, and we were not faithful. So from where did we get this love? It is certain that while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that we did not have this love. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, we served Satan. We were the slaves of sin. We did what was right in our own eyes. We followed our own hearts. We obeyed the lusts of our flesh. So where in the world did we get this love? This kind of love was given to us by the God who saved us. So this love for God that causes us to humble ourselves, causes us to submit to his ways, and causes us to follow and causes us to obey did not come from us, but came from God and is part of the new divine nature that God gave us through Jesus Christ. So Jude was right. We have a need, a great need, to correctly and properly fear the Lord. And the Bible says that this fear will pull some people out of the fire. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.